All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
Oh, you and your fucking snaps. Oh,
don't you love it? It has to, it starts it. It won't start without that. I'm serious. You think it's just a novelty? Like, I just want our listeners to hear my snap?
I just think you wish you were at a coffee house poetry reading right now.
Karaoke night.
You're jealous.
That's not it. I can snap.
Can you? Okay, talk amongst yourselves.
Are we good?
Yeah, levels look great. Everything looks great.
Okay.
Good. Alex, you're going to have to talk.
I'm trying. Okay.
All right. I think we can just start.
Okay, good.
Okay. It's been a while, but...
We're outside.
We're outside. Again.
It's so glorious.
It feels good. It's a overcast, 61-degree night.
Outdoor studio. Mm-hmm. Lights are aglow.
We're back, baby.
It's good.
Get out of that dungeon.
Okay.
It's a very nice dungeon. Yeah. Just kidding. Okay. So, welcome to our world. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we have a very special guest. My nephew, Alex Foppy, is on the show. We talked about this two months ago, about having Alex on.
Yeah.
And thought it would be...
Then the world exploded.
Then the world exploded. Corona happened. By the time you're listening to this, we'll be about 3 years in at the rate of our editing.
Or you'll be dead, so.
Or you'll be dead. Thanks, Steve. It'll just be the last
from old age, not from corona.
It's too late. You can't take that back now.
Okay.
So we thought it'd be a good idea to have Al on the show because, well, he's a great kid.
Yeah, we're
and,
excited.
And I was telling him before we got going, this is going to be a fun one because the majority of the folks that we have on have this, you know, kind of story of building a business or building a career and making their dreams come true in some way or another, or just following what they're passionate about. And Al does that a lot with what he's trying to do. He follows his passion to, you know, with no apologies.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it at the very beginning.
Yeah.
We're seeing it like, you know, the inception of what it could be. And I think it would be really cool just for us to do this. And then also for you to hear it, you know, now and in 5 years and 10 years. And
well, for your mom and dad to have it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And I think one of the coolest compliments that we've gotten, I mean, I won't speak for you, but was Kittner when she's like, the girls listen to this, and I thought, how cool is it that my girls will have my voice and have me talk about why I do what I do and my passions and being a mom and wife and all these things, and now they get that forever. So how cool would it be to have, you know, you have this, and where you go in the future, you'll be able to look back and see what of a little shit you were.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
just turned 20 in March.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time to do this.
It's a great time to do it. You're 20 years old. Oh, Lord. Okay.
So many people waited till they were like 40 to do this show. So 20 is a good starting point. Good well, Lord. Alex, I'm going to let Adam do the honors.
Al, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah, I've heard the podcast a lot, so it's kind of a hard question. Like, people are saying that they're just kind of like sprung on and like who they think they are. And it's definitely hard to think about even when you're prepared for it to happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, I would say simple. Like, I just have a simple look on life and everything rather than just overcomplicating things and getting in my own head. So being simple about how I approach things definitely is a way I like to look at life.
That's awesome.
I like that. I think simple is definitely a word. I think purposeful is an indirect is maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, and you said it before, like passionate. Like I'm very passionate about, like, my dream, which is playing baseball. So that's always going to be a top priority for me.
Yeah.
Is baseball.
In some way or another.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other reasons why I thought it was really exciting to have you on the show is we've inevitably interviewed people that have played pro hockey, minor league baseball, like every facet of professional sports somehow. I don't know how they agree to meet with us, but that's just like happened.
Idea. Yeah.
So we thought it would be really cool to talk to you because you're right at the beginning of all of that.
Right.
And on such a good track that it'd be cool to talk to somebody before that all happens. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's because it gives you the, I mean, it gives you the foundation, the groundwork, you know, you mm-hmm. hear, we talked to Reed and he, you know, talks about his time in Minnesota and then going back to Canada and almost quitting and then back down yeah. to Minot and doing all those things. That's like where you're at. Like you're at all those different crossroads, you know, and you and I are super close. And so yeah. to have some of those crossroads already happen and you get through those, I think is super cool and probably more to come.
Right. And there's definitely been times where I thought about just giving everything up, but I ended up sticking with it and I'm more happy than I've ever been. So I'm glad I stuck with what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So really quickly, you kind of gave us the philosophical answer of who the hell you think you are, but like, tell us what you do. Like, where do you go to school?
Where
what position
you
do you
life?
Play? Where are you at in your dream? Where are you at in life? Kind of give us an elevator pitch of who you are and where you're at.
So I go to Webster University. I am a pitcher, right-handed pitcher, and basically, the first year I was there, freshman year, was a lot harder than I thought or anticipated it to be because I didn't get as many innings as a lot of the other guys. And that was a real eye-opener for me to really, like, try a lot harder and put more effort into it. And, like, it showed, too, because once I put that effort in and then sophomore year rolled around and I got the innings that I know I should have been getting and I got to face better competition because my coach believed in me a little more, like, when I was in Dominican Republic, I got to face against the Rockies, and that was a great experience. And that's one of the games that I will always look back on of like, that's like, if I didn't keep going with baseball, if I decided to quit, then I would never have gotten that experience.
Right.
So Webster definitely gave me that experience. And then, I mean, just playing the game is how I get to spend my free time and get to clear my head. Like, everyone has that stress relief, so being able to just play the game how I want to play it is another great thing to do.
Yeah.
And then when you were playing over the summer, was that with Webster, or was that, like, a different...
Over last summer?
Uh-huh.
So over last summer, Webster sends... Almost every college sends players to different leagues throughout the country. And I got to go up to New York where I was top three in strikeouts up there leading the league, and that transferred over to my sophomore year, being able to perform and produce for the team that my coach knew I could and why he brought me in. And then I tried going back there this summer, but I obviously we couldn't because of this whole corona thing happening, but it would have been nice to go up there. So now I'm just doing a velocity program, trying to build myself and build my stamina and velocity, trying to take my abilities to the next level.
Nice.
One of the things that I love when we get to talk about your programs or your goals, they're rarely about results. The majority of them are about the physical and mental tools that you have to build in order to get the results. You know, I translate it to us in business to where mm-hmm. our goals may be financial or unit-based or whatever, but our day-to-day goals are transactional. They're building skills, developing pipelines, developing physical and mental attributes that it would require us to then hit our goals. So I always think it's fascinating when we talk about your goals and you're like, oh, I got to put on this much weight, or I have to eat this, or I have to read this book, or I have to do this thing. And it's like, that has very little to do with baseball, but it has everything to do with baseball all at the same time. And I always am fascinated why you're smart enough, and it sounds like you have a lot of really smart people in your corner that are pushing you to do stuff like that, but you're smart enough to identify that your ability goes beyond baseball. It should be the ability comes first, and then the result is the byproduct.
Well, yeah, and baseball isn't all about just like your skill level too. It's one of the most mentally challenging games in the entire world. Like, you need to be mentally prepared, and so you need to take that time, whether it be reading or like looking at this or that and the other, and prepare yourself for challenges and like being calm under stress and being calm when nerves come up and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
well, and that'll translate for anything you ever want to do. If there's anything right. that you want to do ever later on, you'll have the skills that will
right.
take you where you need to go.
Yeah. So who's in your world? Give us an idea. You know, you're 20 years old, so your answer will probably be a little bit different than some yeah. of ours, but who's in your world?
I mean, there's a lot of people in my world. I want to say just all the Foppies, because everyone that's named Foppy, or like even your wife and like you and just everyone, supports me in what I'm trying to do. But the biggest people in my life would probably be my parents, Kim and Dan, and then my sister, and then honestly you, because like whenever I've struggled with stuff, you've definitely pushed me in the right direction and guided me on what I needed to do. And so
well, that's cool.
That's awesome. Okay. So do you have time to work?
Being a student athlete is definitely a full-time job. So you can't really, like, during season you can't work. So like winter, you're waking up at 6:30 in the morning, going to workouts, then going to class, then going to practice after classes, and then you're doing the homework that you didn't get to do throughout the day because of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to find work, but in like the winter breaks and the summer breaks and the spring breaks, well, not really spring break, but winter and summer breaks, you can sort of find time to try and work. Like right now I'm trying to do DoorDash, but it's how it is. I mean,
yeah,
it's all right. But yeah, being a student athlete is definitely a full-time job, and I don't think enough people give us credit for what we have to do and deal with.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, just the time commitment alone, besides all your normal school right. work, is probably a lot.
So what kind of things other than baseball are you passionate about?
So I've had a few career changes in deciding on what I want to do. I wanted to be an architect or like a computer engineer and stuff like that. And then I recently changed it to exercise science because I want to be able to open up my own gym. And that kind of correlates to like trying harder in school, or not school, but working out, like this year, trying to prove myself. Like, I really found that I loved lifting and like loved working out and trying to push other people to like get on the same level and like push them even further and see what everyone else has to offer too. So I think being a personal trainer and opening my own gym would be a good move.
Yeah.
Nice.
Especially with the background of pushing yourself to be a professional athlete.
Right.
I mean, that's, I could probably use a trainer.
Yeah. Well, so what, you know, obviously you train to be like mentally fit, physically fit, but what kind of things trip you up or do you personally struggle with, or have you accomplished from what you used to struggle with?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff that trips everybody up, but what I would say the biggest thing that tripped me up, oh, that's a hard question. I don't know, just like outside stuff, letting that affect me, like to what I'm trying to accomplish. So if I'm trying to accomplish getting better at baseball, I don't want the outside stuff weighing me down, such as like stress from this, that, or the other, and mm-hmm. all this stuff coming in, or like, and that's where I feel like being a student athlete definitely pushes the stress on you, because while you're trying to get better at baseball, you also got to worry about having the grades to be able to even play for the school.
Sure.
So definitely not letting that outside component get the best of me and trying to overcome all that.
Yeah.
How much does, and you can answer this as honestly as you'd like to, but how much does being a 20-year-old kid and having peer pressure of, I know what I was doing when I was 20, and it certainly was not trying to get better at sports. I was going the opposite direction. So like how much do you struggle with that? You know, is it the company that you keep that is keeping you in line, or do you kind of have to separate Alex from your friends and Alex from baseball?
I mean, there's definitely a component of that too. Like, friends and just other people from the outside are always going to try and peer pressure you no matter what you do. Like, oh, let's go party, or oh, let's go smoke weed, or whatever this and that is. But I've always tried to maintain my focus on baseball, and like thinking of going to do that to jeopardize my career and like how far I could take it is way bigger to me than going to have fun one night. And I just don't seem like it's worth it.
Yeah.
Are you regretful of your past?
A little. I'm like, dang, man. Like, I've said this to Al a million times when we go to dinner every once in a while, and I'm just like, I'm so envious of your mind at this age. Like, my answer to that, my rebuttal to your answer is like, why? And I mean that with like all the respect in the world, because if somebody would have been like, hey, Bones, we're going to go party, or you can study and like wake up fresh for work tomorrow, I'd be like, who's picking me up? Mm-hmm. Like, where are we going? What time are we going? Mm-hmm. And I do. I mean, I regret having that mentality for a long time, because I feel like it put me behind the eight ball for so long of like what I'm trying to do now. I'm 35 trying to build a business, and I'm like, damn, I wish I would have got started earlier. So like, I don't even know if the question makes sense, but like, you have this unbelievable perspective of not allowing outside peer pressure or partying or anything to like get in your way. And it's like, how? Like, you have two great parents, and so I'm sure it was beat into your head, you know, right, like, hey, right, you have talent, don't screw this up.
Sure.
But I mean, not every kid listens, you know. I mean,
or cares enough,
yeah, or really sees the forest through the trees and believes in themselves that much. Like,
and I mean, a big thing is like, they never forced anything on me either. Like, they would always give me the wiggle room to make my own decisions. And that's where I think it kind of helped me, because if they were a little stricter, I feel like it could have gone the other way. Like, yeah. I feel like being a stricter parent kind of increases their kids to be a little sneakier. Yeah. So it kind of like is a double-edged sword with them trying to give you the wiggle room to make your own decisions. But if I were to like mess up, they would still punish me like, sure, a normal kid. But
yeah,
it's kind of like live and learn, and you got to make decisions and know what's bad and know what's good and know what you got to do.
Well, I know you're grateful for that mindset, but I can't even tell you what an asset it is at that age. So,
well, and it's inspiring to be in your 30s and see someone in their 20s that's like so put together and disciplined and focused. So just if that is worth,
yeah,
what that's,
I mean, it's inspiring on a few levels. It's inspiring as a parent, business person, but yeah, certainly as a parent. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be like, okay, like, you know, you want the best for your kids, but you don't want to hover. You want to,
yeah, let's call Kim and Dan.
Right.
Let's get them on here.
You feel
what
like
can we learn?
You're constantly failing as a parent, but at the same time, you're like, okay, you're like, you see them do certain things. You're like, okay, I'm doing all right.
Right.
Right. Things are okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and Sam's not too shabby either, so.
That, right. I mean, just a great kid, phenomenal athlete.
Just got lucky.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And I mean, another thing is like not losing sight of what you want to. Like, it'll get murky in there, and like everyone loses sight a little bit, but the parents and like who's around definitely helps keep you back on track and keep you from making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Like, they're not trying to force anything on you, but like my mom and my sister, when I was trying to quit baseball, they brought this time capsule thing that I made, and it showed my top thing, and it was, I want to be an MLB player and pitch in game 7. And yeah, so when I saw that, I broke down in front of them, and I made my decision that night that I was going to go play college baseball and take it as far as I could.
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to cry, so.
Especially today, I'm like, this is so appropriate for today.
Right. Okay, well, what kind of things are hard for you to say no to then?
I mean, definitely being in college and wanting to be around the party scene, it's still hard to say no to all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing all your friends and your teammates and girlfriends and all them wanting to go out to bars and stuff. Like, it's hard to say no, but I just take it as there's a bigger picture in mind. And what if they don't want to stick around to help see me through it, then they're not really the people I need around in my life peer pressuring me.
Yeah, for sure. God. Who are you?
Right. My nephew?
Yeah. So what, I mean, you kind of said this already, but what kind of things have you had to turn down to do what you do?
I definitely had to turn down wanting to be a engineer architect because that was what I wanted to do going into college, and they don't have that at Webster.
Okay.
So after I finally found, like, being an exercise science major, like, found that passion to want to help people and make them stronger and push them, that's just something I had to turn down and let go from my past, like, that I've always wanted to do.
And you wanted to go to Webster because of their baseball, I assume?
Yeah, they're very good. They're always top 10 ranked in the country in baseball for Division III, but I wanted to go because I thought I would get the most playing time there.
Okay.
So I wanted to make myself have the best opportunity to take it to the next level rather than going to a Mizzou or a SEMO and trying to walk on and then having to struggle and fight and claw my way for 2 years, 3 years, trying to just get a starting spot.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah. So we've heard probably a couple of them already, but like, what would you say are some defining moments? I mean, in your young 20 years of life.
So a defining moment, I was thinking about this question a lot when I listened to the last podcast when you asked a lot of other people. But I would say summer of senior year when I was having the hard decision of trying to figure out if I wanted to go play or stay home and go to Mizzou or go to whatever college I wanted to do. I had a coach named Chris, Coach Chris, and he was my last summer ball coach. He showed me how to have fun in baseball again because I was starting to get burnt out and I was starting to like resent the game. But he kind of opened my eyes and showed me what I could be doing and how much better I was than I actually thought I was and like why I should keep pursuing it and why I would regret it if I didn't at least try. So he was someone that opened my eyes and to keep pursuing this dream.
Yeah. What did that look like? I mean, what, like, was it a day that he showed you this, or was it over a period of time that he helped you rediscover that?
So there was one night practice we had up at the Bud Dome, and I was taking ground balls. I was the shortstop at the time for the summer ball, and after the practice, my mom and I think one of my old coaches from grade school were there, and they were just talking about how I was going to go to Mizzou and not play baseball anymore, and he overheard them and came up to me and was just like, that won't be a good decision. Like, as brutal as it sounds and as truthful as it sounds, like, it just won't be a good decision. And at that night, he just made me realize that if I wanted to keep going, then I needed to try and put in more effort, and that's what I did.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of things keep you up at night?
Honestly, I don't think anything keeps me up at night unless it's like a big, big game that I have to pitch the next day, and I'm just thinking about that. But other than that, I can't really think too much about what keeps me up at night.
Walk me through that, or walk us through that. Like, you got a big game. It's a rival game. Because I've seen you pitch a few times, and typically, at least externally, it doesn't look like you're too nervous out there. You kind of have a little bit of a swagger about you when you're on the field. So what is it like the night before? How do you get yourself ready to go?
So this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I actually try and bring the nerves on myself. Like, I try to make myself nervous for the next day or the game I'm going to start because I feel like I do better under pressure. And, like, knowing that I have to pitch in a big game, it just – I come up clutch – or the clutch moments just happen, and I just let my mechanics and my – what I've been training for take over. So I don't really, like – try to prepare. I just try to make myself nervous.
Weird.
Yeah. Like how? Like you think about.
I think about
who you're
like
gonna face.
Yeah, and like what everyone's gonna think, or like what coach is gonna do if I do this, or just I try to think about the game and possibilities that could happen throughout it and what I need to do to prevent it.
So you think about the bad stuff that could go mm-hmm. wrong?
I don't usually think about the good until after the game. Yeah.
Okay, if that happened.
Right.
You're just prepping yourself. Wow, okay. I'd vomit all over myself.
I know, right? I play men's hockey on Wednesdays and can barely receive a pass because I'm so nervous. So I can't even imagine.
I mean, I'm super athletic, so whatever.
Super athletic.
That's interesting. Little side note. So I, you know, we all know I used to do like culinary stuff, whatever. I used to be a catering chef, so I would go to the restaurant, pick up the food, and then take it to a client's house and cook at their party at their house. And I would literally have like panic attacks on the way. I didn't know that's what they were until I was older and wiser, but the chef that I was working for was like, hey, if you're not nervous on your way to a gig, then you don't care anymore and you need to do something else. So I've always thought about that. I think there's like a level that you shouldn't surpass, otherwise it's unhealthy, and that was probably unhealthy, but it was, but I mean, like, there should be that nerves because why else would you choose to spend so much time doing something if you didn't care about it enough to be a little bit nervous of doing a good job?
No, absolutely. I mean, whether it's presentations, speaking engagements,
whatever
business
it is,
meetings,
yeah.
I feel like I'm always nervous. That's a good point. You might have just unlocked a little bit of power.
You go.
All right. So I know that you're a reader to a certain extent. You probably don't read as much as you used to, but like what have you read that has been good for you, or are you reading anything now?
I'm not reading anything now because school just got out and I want to take some time to relax from reading and doing all the schoolwork. But one of my favorite books was 50 House of Cards. House of Cards. Mm-hmm. And it talks about a Cardinals pitcher and how he grew up in Afton and growing up playing on some of the same fields I played at. And that was really cool to just listen to his perspective and everything that he had to say about what he had to say and like where he went to college and where just everything. And that was really inspiring because that was coincidentally the like when I was trying to make the decision on whether I wanted to play or not. And I got the book at the right time. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Now you and I have exchanged, I don't even know what they're called, motivational videos or inspirational videos. What do you listen to like from a motivational speaker or an inspirational video to get you kind of in the right place?
So there's this Will Smith video and there's one line in particular. And a lot of this really has to do with why I stayed playing baseball. But Will Smith essentially in this video says, don't have a plan B, like at all. Just have a plan A, because if you have a plan B, that's your fallback net. And it'll keep you from trying your absolute hardest for the plan A. So I kind of took that as baseball is my plan A. I'm not going to have a plan B, and I'm just going to run with it for as long as I can. And by the time I'm out of college, if I'm not in the pros, I'll have enough time to essentially do whatever I want.
Right. And your preparation to achieve your plan A is, like Jess said, it's going to prepare you for
life,
whatever plan B is, whether it's sales or being a trainer or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. So I like that.
That's awesome. What do you listen to get pumped up?
It depends on what I'm doing. If it's for baseball, I'll listen to country, just like calm myself down and get in the groove. Like when I'm up on the mound, I'll sing songs out loud and I'll start dancing around and just having a fun time.
Good.
And just like that's when I'm doing best, is when I'm out there just dancing and singing my ass off. But if it's like working out, I'll listen to like rock and roll, some AC/DC, Killswitch, like a lot of those kinds of music, just to get me amped up, ready to lift.
Cool.
Top three movies of all time.
Oh my gosh.
Most important question.
Oh my gosh. Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
I like that a lot. Damn, this is hard. I want to throw a comedy in there, and it's Talladega Nights. Because it has the best comedic duo ever.
Agreed.
And I mean, it's like Will Ferrell. Like, that's where everyone, I feel like, really got into Will Ferrell is Talladega Nights. And
in your generation, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely in my generation. That's a big hit for Will Ferrell. I've always liked the movie Real Steel, too, because I got to see it with Brennan and Grandma for when Grandma used to do boys' trips. Like, yeah. She'd take us all out to movies and stuff, like the boys out to a movie or the girls out to a movie. Aww. And we got to go to that, and that was just a good memory, so that's why I've always liked that movie.
Aww. I like that. That's
sweet. Well, so you probably travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are your biggest pet peeves when you travel?
Whenever I have earbuds in and people try to take them out. Yeah.
People try to take your earbuds
out?
Yeah,
like.
That happens?
To talk to me, like, if I'm not paying attention or not hearing, like on the team, not, like, random people just coming up and taking my earbuds out. But, like, I usually travel with the team because we definitely go a lot of places, but when someone takes an earbud out, it just really irks me and makes me mad.
Yeah, that would make me mad.
Right, I would punch somebody.
Are you allowed to, like, eat road snacks? What kind of road snacks do you like?
I mean, we can eat road snacks, definitely, but I don't really eat until we get there. I usually bring like a Gatorade or two along and then maybe a Cliff Bar and just try to go to sleep on the bus and listen to music.
Okay.
That's complete opposite of my road snacks. Oh. Shannon's road snacks.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's great. All right, if you could choose one meal, the death row meal, what would it be?
It would be a steak, medium rare, any steak. I just love steak.
Okay.
And then my mom makes sweet potatoes that are the best sweet potatoes I've ever had in my life. And I actually have a pan of it at home right now.
Okay.
So I've been eating that for the last week. Good old green bean casserole. A lot of Thanksgiving food, like sweet potatoes and green bean casserole, yeah. Dessert, let's see. I'm not, like, a big sweet tooth person, but I would go with brownies if I chose a dessert, and that would be it. Maybe a milkshake, chocolate milkshake, too.
Good Lord. You're trying to bulk up.
Not getting me.
Right. Good Lord.
Okay. So who's one person that you know that we should know? I guess for the purpose of, like, an interview or would be super interesting to talk to.
I feel like Josh Simakaitis would be kind of interesting.
He would be a good interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's almost made it all the way, and then he's doing pretty stable, I feel like, financially or, like, with his what he's doing right now. Yeah. So I feel like he would have a lot of insight. And he actually coached me sophomore year of high school. Or, like, I got to have him give a little coaching background to me.
Okay. Yeah, and he played ball at Nebraska, got drafted by the Cubs and
Triple-A.
Yeah. Went up to Iowa. Yeah, he was right there.
Yeah, he was close.
That's cool. A good idea.
Okay.
So, like, what if you could kind of bottle, like, what it takes to get where you're at right now, like, if you could give, you know, not that, like, there's little ball players that listen, but, like, I mean, I think a lot of the things that you've said, I mean, they're super purposeful to me, and I'm gonna take them back to, like, my business and my team. Like, if you could give someone advice that is kind of at a roadblock, what would it be? Like, how did you get, you had some great influences to help push you through it, but, like, the basis of you getting through those roadblocks, where do you go in order to get through those?
I would just go drive around in whatever car I could find at the time, whether it be my parents or mine. And I would drive, listen to music, and just try and clear my head and think about everything that's going on and think about 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 25 years down the road, and see like where I'd be if I didn't play and then where I'd be if I did play, and if I'd regret not playing or if I'd regret any of this. Like, I want to live my life to where I haven't had to regret anything. And I think that was the biggest thing, whether choosing to play or not, is because later on I don't want to have to regret the what if. Like, what if I played? And what if I made it all away, but I wouldn't know since I didn't play?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one that we all should think about.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to think about it. It's not just like, what if? It's, well, what does it look like if I do it? And what does it look like if I don't?
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like, if you look back in 5 years, 10 years, and you played and didn't make it, are you going to regret that? Probably not. But if you look back in 5 years and 10 years and didn't play, would you always wonder?
Yeah.
Probably. It's so easy to say, but it's not very many people do it. Not many people have the gall to stick with it. What's going on over there?
You got the bug June on the bugs ground? Are
June,
back.
Bug. June bugs are back. Wait till the crickets
we'll
get
have
back.
Cicadas.
Or cicadas, yeah.
Months. Cool.
Okay. Is there anything that you thought we were going to ask or you wanted us to ask about that we didn't?
Honestly, no. I've been listening to every podcast just about. So, like, I kind of was ready for the questions and going over them in my head a little bit, but.
Student.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I loved being interviewed by you guys. It was awesome. I was really nervous at first, but.
You did great.
Definitely got a little more calmed down as it went on.
Yeah.
Good.
I think you did great.
Did you amp yourself up for the worst thing that could happen?
No, I did not do that. That only works when I'm playing baseball, actually. Oh, okay. I can't really. If I try to do that in real life, it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Feels like the worst always happens.
Mm. Well, Alex, thanks for agreeing to do this with us.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
It.
Bye, guys.
That's it. See ya. Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.